This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's the Wednesday after Ipswich Town's promotion on the Saturday, and we're just coming back to check. Are we still Premier League? Yeah, we are. We're Premier League, everyone, here on the Blue Monday podcast. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, discussing the town up or down since 2015. I'm Rich Woodward and welcome to this midweek live reaction after Ipswich Town's open top bus parade on Monday and promotion on Saturday. We're still giddy. You're still giddy. Let's do a blooming podcast about it. And of course, we only had space. Well, we had space for everyone, but logistics and other excuses got in the way of hearing the views from the whole pod team. So We are back to give a platform to Dave Diamond, Seb Brown and Joe Fares. We're also going to hear from you folks in the chat. But first off, let's go down the line. It's Wednesday, guys. A week ago, we were getting really excited about the weekend having just beaten Coventry. A week's a long time in football, isn't it, Dave?
Well, a week certainly is. What about I'll give you 10 days before that Hull game, flipping heck. You know, it seems a lifetime ago now that we're all in a little bit. Well, we'd obviously had the Leeds result on the Friday, so the Hull game obviously assumed greater importance, not that it was anyway. But who'd have thought it? I think we're all still in a bit of shock. And personally, I don't think it'll really sink in until maybe another few weeks. The fixtures come out and then you really think, okay, here we are now. So, yeah, as you know, of an older vintage to you guys and go back a long way. And Saturday and Monday, I think, will long live in my memory. And, yeah, up there easily with anything I think I've witnessed before, including Cup Finals, UEFA Cup Finals. It's up there, it really is. Promotion in 2000. Just couldn't write the script any better, really, could you?
No, exactly right. But before we talk about the positives, is there anyone that we need to apologise to? Maybe patrons of the Maharani, Dave?
Oh, no, Seb.
Say thank you to the Maharani.
Well, we're very patient with probably us. We need to apologise. Patrons of the Maharani, or those who weren't football supporters. Mark Ladd's, Teddy's mum, probably. Yeah. Young Teddy's mum. The absolute quality, wasn't it? Just capped the day off, and didn't quite finish the day off, but just the brilliant, brilliant evening. Brilliant day, brilliant evening, wasn't it?
Yep. Joe, you ended up on the pitch for 2 years running. you were the one who committed last season. Were you happy to have friends this time around? More friends, I should say.
Yeah, it was nice not getting booed when I sort of went back to the seat as well this year, as opposed to last year, which was a strange one. I think there was such a... I can see why some fans were sort of frustrated with it and why it was like that, because the club were making such a big deal of it. But once that happened last year, we knew that everyone was safe this time, and it really did deserve the pitch invasion that it got, didn't it? We're so, so fortunate. When you look at Leicester, for example, they won the league, but they got promoted on Friday night when Leeds lost the game, and then they had an away game at Preston just to have a little party. 2 years in a row, we've gone there. We've had an amazing week. I'm fortunate enough to go to all six games. When you're talking Peterborough, Barnsley, then Exeter, and then again sort of Hull, Coventry, and the Huddersfield game. And it's just these weeks like I thought last week, that week's not going to be topped. And then not even 12 months later, it's already been topped. And just quite incredible that you're in that position where you're going into a game at Portman Road, not relying on anyone else, not worrying about that, knowing that if we do our job, we're going to get promoted. And we've gone and done it brilliantly both times. It's just been such a privilege to be following this team for the last, well, two years now.
Joan, I've got to say, how special that your kids were with you there. That's a beautiful thing, mate. You know, I hope you told them it isn't always like this.
No, that is a problem. They used to have just not seen us ever lose a game. We've lost two home games in 2 years. And
yeah,
like my eldest has done a couple of away games with me, and we've won all the away games he's done. So it's there will be a coming back down to earth at some point. But I remember when I first started supporting the club, which was 91-92, we won the league that year. Then we had a good season in the Premier League, then stayed up on the last day, relegated, missed the playoffs, promoted, yes. Europe, relegated, seventh, playoffs. And it's like every season there was something on it. And then after that, there's probably not two seasons in 20 where something was happening, sort of come April at the end of the season. So hopefully they can have a exciting run like I did for the first few years of their life, at least.
Brilliant.
Fingers crossed, yeah. Sound right. Seb, as the one member of at least this formation who isn't local to the area, have you been keeping updated on celebrations in your part of the world? Have we made it to national? I would have been on national news, but are your work colleagues asking you about it and all that kind of stuff?
They are, yeah. For the first time in the 8 years I've worked for my company, people are starting to show a little bit of interest in Ipswich Town, having mocked me for the previous near decade or so. I got a few congratulatory texts from Liverpool fans and a Forest fan at full time who work with me. So, yeah, I mean, even being slightly removed from it, it's still just, you know, it's daydream kind of territory. I think that week, the Hull, Coventry and obviously Huddersfield, I think that's the happiest week I've had as a Town fan. Not necessarily maybe the best, but the happiest. You know, the Hull game was an absolute rip-roaring game. The relief at Coventry getting across the line, and then the scenes at Huddersfield full-time will live with me forever. I know 2000 was amazing, but there was a bit of a gap between the playoffs and there was jeopardy in the playoffs and then the final. So yeah, for me, last week I think is my happiest time watching Ipswich in my 30 years of going to Portman Road.
Quite a birthday week, wasn't it, all in all told?
Pretty spoiled because I got League One promotion last year, promotion this year, and then I dread to think what next year will be. It will be amazing.
Well, and it's Joe's as well.
It was my birthday on Tuesday, so I had obviously the promotion on Saturday. Sunday, I went out for a lovely dinner with friends, and then Monday, the promotion party. Tuesday, my birthday. So it's been a fantastic week. Sort of slightly topped last year. Seb had promotion for his birthday. I had 11 hours in the car to Fleetwood and back for a 2-2. It wasn't quite the same on my birthday.
The game that we don't talk about. Yeah, exactly right. And keeping the theme going, it's Craig Finbow's birthday, I believe, tomorrow as well. So happy birthday to Craig in advance, and do wish him all the best. It's some of us have our birthdays on the international weekend. So yay for me. I think we might have been Germany once on... no, probably not. Let's say hello to the chat. Let's get some views from the folk there. And Darren's first up. Isn't it funny? You wait so long for a bus, then two come along at once, all wrapped in blue and white with the Premier League logo slapped on the front. Let's not stop here. What can we get to next? Early days, I know. Evening to Paul. Charlie still hasn't sunk in that we are Premier League. We can keep saying it, can't we, Charlie? But it doesn't, still not feeling even more real yet. But hopefully it will over the next few weeks. Rob's here. Andreas, Neil, just watching the Champions League semi-final, doing a bit of scouting, you know, that's what we need. A few Premier League games coming up as well. Suddenly, guys, I don't know about you, I kind of have half an eye on Super Sunday. Now, Dave, at least for the next couple of weeks, actually, it's quite interesting and relevant, isn't it, all of a sudden?
It's going to be so good watching the toils, and as we know, the toils and tribulations of the playoff semi-finals. It's going to be great. Sorry, that's what I didn't realise I was talking about. But yeah, just taking a step back and watching that would just be awesome.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I meant the Premier League games that are coming up over the next couple of weeks.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh,
a bit more scouting, aren't
we? Of course, there's two more sets of games left. Yeah. No, that's quite interesting. And I mean, here's the thing then. You talk about Premier League. Can Murray Hutchinson be recalled? Presumably he can't. Can he figure? Is that possible?
I don't know. Who owns the registration? I think we do until probably the end of May because of the playoffs, wouldn't it be?
So. Yeah.
Joe's nodding and he's the expert. So
yeah, Joe would be.
Joe's giving me the endorsement, the football manager scout endorsement. Romeo, anyone got anything good that they can recommend to do this weekend? Someone mentioned gardening. I think Paul mentioned gardening earlier. That's trying to get my lawn in good nick. That's my that's the real quiz now, isn't it? Colin, promotion hasn't sung him for him either. Another Colin, congratulations to everyone at the club. Fantastic achievement, especially by the fans first class. Yeah, indeed. Good to have everyone here. We will do a bit of Q&A later on, so get your thinking caps on. And given I failed on Sunday, it was just so chaotic on Sunday, we'll try and do the Neil Warnock ticket giveaway. We've got a couple of tickets for his live event at the Region on the 7th of June. So if you want to ask a question later on, and one of the pod team, I'll kind of let pick the best question, or all of us will do it. All of us will do it. Collective. We'll send a couple of Neil Warnock tickets your way. But Joshua, we need to say a big thank you to Joshua. Thanks, gents. Pleasure listening all season and seeing many of you out and about at games in town. Thank you for the super chat, Joshua, continuing the huge generosity on Sunday. We're still bowled over by that. So thank you, everyone. And thank you, Joshua, for sticking with us all season. And hopefully lots of exciting things to talk about. Near Waka Waka. Yeah. And excellent stuff. Yeah, Maurizio, we are Premier League. Feels so good to say. Matt Holland said it about a million times, didn't he, on Monday night for the players. Do they did a fantastic job herding cats there. Seb, I'll give you some names of award winners and we'll get some views on them. Sponsors, Player of the Year, Sam Morsey. Players, Player, Leif Davis. And goal of the season, no doubt, Wes Burns. Good that Leif Davis is recognised, because I suspect in any voting of Player of the Season, he was probably pushing Sam Morsey pretty close, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. It would have been between one of those two, wouldn't it, for the overall prize. Morsey, I guess, is the obvious choice for the supporters. And it's great to see, you know, I mean, Davis, was it 18 assists in the end, broke Kieran Trippier's record. So an absolutely phenomenal season. His first kind of, I know he had a loan spell at Bournemouth, but his first real spell at that level, and an absolutely superb return. So yeah, well deserved. Wes Burns winning the goal of the season was always going to happen, wasn't it? Let's be honest, that was an absolute no-brainer. And Morsey, yeah, we all know he got the supporters vote beforehand, so again, really well deserved. I guess top three would probably be Morsey, Davis, and probably one of Flanky or Burgess in number three, I would suggest. So yeah, worthy winners, really, really great to see.
And Joe, Golden Boot is kind of a gimme, isn't it? You it's not an award that someone picks for you, but it's acknowledged at the very least. But two awards, really nice to see. Someone who's certainly enjoyed the weekend, he's one of our own and doing exactly what I'm sure all of us would do. The Philip Hope Cobbold Award goes to Harry Clark. But Academy Player of the Year, Finley Barbrook. Do you want to give your take on those two?
Yeah, I think it's great for Harry Clark to win the awards. I know he's obviously had a very, very enjoyable weekend. Everyone's seen the videos of him drinking beers out of crocs and dancing around Isaacs and doing, basically being the sort of the Freddie Flintoff of the of the sort of open top bus parade. But I think it shows that whilst that is him as well, he is also the guy that will get out there and do all the community stuff. And there's videos of him on the pitch where he's sort of in tears again, as he was last year. He's a guy that just gives everything to everything, doesn't it? Whether it's playing football, being in the community, going out of the lash after they've been promoted, everything is done at sort of a 1,000,000%. So no, great to see him win that. And yeah, and Finn Barbrook with the reward for an excellent season on loan at Chelmsford, where he's gone there and been. So I've only seen one of his games when he was there, but when you look at all the sort of data analysis of that league, he's a player that's really, really impressive. And I think he's one that I think hopefully you should be able to get him into sort of like a League Two team next year, as opposed to just jumping up into the sort of Conference National. He looks a player that's sort of, as he always had here, sort of fantastic attitude and going there, nice size now, and really has impressed that level. And I think he's one that could maybe get a nice loan spell and see where that takes him.
So which one is he? Is he the left sided player or the centre mid?
No, Harry's the left back, and he's the centre mid, but he's played centre back a fair bit as well this season.
Yeah, yeah, player. He's
sort of more a holding midfielder.
They were both outstanding last year in that run, weren't they?
They were, yeah. Thank you to all the really nice comments, Crispy. Thanks to all the Blue Monday team. You helped us get through some dark times. We did a Wimbledon or a Northampton reaction, didn't we? 3-0 defeat. I think all of us all of us as supporters as well have had our 20 years. I really recommend the Ripple Effect podcast. is it Joe Alcott? Joe, you've listened to it. Mikey and Ben guesting on it, talking through, you know, the recent history. And as much as we're reveling right now, I think a lot of people outside our fan base don't really understand the wilderness years that we've had for 20 odd years. So really recommend that. We've retweeted that, but the guys talk about that as well. And yeah, it wasn't great podcast content for a while, but we found a way, but going to be a little bit more different tomorrow. Seb, when we record this is Thursday. We'd be normally doing the pre-match. So thank, I was about to swear there. Thank goodness we don't need to do a playoff preview. But any early insights? This came up on Sunday. Any early insights as to how the pre-match content research might change? Be easier, probably. But
yeah, I'm looking forward to it being considerably easier. I don't think it'll take the 3 hours it normally takes, given I haven't got to find out who takes Morecambe's in swinging corners in the second half of games. The resources available will be plentiful. And I guess, yeah, you and me will have to have a chat over the next few weeks and work out what we're going to do with it, because there's no point us sitting here and listing top Man City players to look out for, because I'm fairly sure everyone will know that. So I'm sure we'll have a chat. We'll revamp it. We'll bin off the predictions feature because it's crap. And we'll look to come back stronger again in August.
Do you want to confirm to listeners, watchers, who won the predictions?
I don't care. I don't know. I hope Jack won. Did Jack win? Telegram?
He did not.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Brilliant. So a t-shirt is coming your way and a mug maybe as well. If you've got any thoughts of what you'd like from pre-match content or maybe over the summer content, put that in the chat as well. We always like to give you what you want. So yeah, it'll be interesting next season, of course, won't it? Let's talk today, guys. Seb, you were watching the telly. Did you, very briefly, we'll refer to this, maybe not the most professional thing to do, but were you following on the live stream, Seb? Was it stable?
No, it was okay. It was fine until they got to the park and then it just completely fell apart. The same clip kept getting shown over and over. The poor Sky guy trying to get bits cut out that they just kept showing time and time again after Wolfenden and Jackson were interviewed. So fantastic scenes to watch. You know, I wasn't there. You three guys were there, but brilliant to see it from this far away, to see that many people in the town. Like Wolfenden said, you know, you don't realise how many people are there. And obviously being a one club town, it's always had this potential. Wembley felt big in 2000 on the Cornhill, but this was just several levels up, wasn't it? It was absolutely crazy watching those scenes. And it really made it hit home for the people around here as well. You know, the people that have been asking me about it were saying, we saw the parade on Sky News and there must have been, you know, 20,000 people. And you're like, well, no, it was 50 to 60,000 people. That's how big a deal this is in that part of the world. So brilliant scenes to see and great to see so many kids and stuff there. You know, Joe would have been there with his kids. Great to see that whole new generation that the club has now won back.
Yeah, who was going to give their I mean, I was part of it as well, but I had my chance on Sunday to talk. Dave, we were together, weren't we, for the arrival of the bus and then strolled up into Christchurch Park. I can't recall seeing that many people in 1999-2000. Is that fair? The club estimate 55,000, maybe 60. It just felt a different scale, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And years before, like, you know, FA Cup final and UEFA Cup final, it was just a bus parade through the town. I'm pretty sure there wasn't anything subsequent to that in Christchurch Park. But yeah, I mean, it was just sheer. Me and you just looked across. We were a big gym. Printed Telegram, Big Jim was with us. And yeah, we looked across the park and it was just staggering, wasn't it? And the bank, so facing where the players were, the sort of bank, just sort of like to the left of inside the gate. Just unbelievable, wasn't it? Just the sheer numbers and all, you know, all pretty good nature. Bit of a crush to get out, but hey. And I know we've seen one or two comments about, you know, or, you know, perhaps it could have been done a little bit differently. The players weren't introduced individually and stuff like that. But clearly they had time constraints there. And I think what they're in the park, probably 45 minutes, maybe, do we think? Something like that. Obviously had time constraints, obviously had the player of the year do in the evening. So, but no, I thought on the whole, the club got it absolutely spot on in the atmosphere. Me and you stood outside with Neil Wilmore, bless him. We stood outside the wall pack and the atmosphere there was just brilliant when the bus went past, wasn't it? Absolutely superb. No, it was a day to remember.
Yeah, definitely. And Joe, coming to you, obviously we talked about your boys enjoying being on the pitch as well. It was so great to see such a diverse fan base these days. There was a real worry kind of 5-10 years ago that we keep hearing about losing a generation of fans, but certainly the youngsters, you know, wearing Man United, Man City, Chelsea, all that kind of stuff, you know, there's a few strong-willed parents like yourself that made sure that your boys were always going to be blue and white. But it's days like this and experiencing it as big communities that just make you remember how big this club is, don't you?
Oh, and it's massive. I got there sort of relatively early. I was probably there sort of just after about 10:30. So we were sort of right up sort of by the barrier, and it was sort of busy enough when you're there, but you didn't really notice. And all of a sudden you sort of looked back, and I sort of had my phone and lifted it up and took a sort of 0.5 times zoomed picture of it. And it's just, there was people as far as you could see sort of in that direction behind me. There wasn't as much on the sort of the side where the screen was. Everything was just back that way. And every 5 minutes you sort of looked up, and it was gone back about another 100 rows of people. And it was just incredible. And I think they did it well. Dave Vant was sort of on the mic there and keeping the atmosphere going and getting it there as it built up. But the time they left at 12, as they said. But I spoke to some friends, and it was like, I don't want to go somewhere too busy. I maybe just stand on like Crown Street and just watch the bus come past. Something along those lines. I think people were expected to be busy at the park and busy at Portman Road where it set off, and just a little sort of stream of people down the road other than that. But no, it was just absolute heaving everywhere. I saw some people stuck in sort of driving down, sort of Crown Street, sort of towards like the Coe's end of it there, on down towards sort of Norwich Road end. And it was just, they were just stuck there because it was just people everywhere, over the whole road, over the path. When it went to Tower Ramparts bus station, the whole thing was just a mass of people. And it was just, just incredible. You just would not, I know there's obviously a sort of an element of people were being at the start and following it and catching up there. So it wasn't all individual people throughout there, but still 55,000 people in the town on that Saturday. And I know we're a one club town, but we're also a one club county. We're really sort of harnessing the whole of Suffolk and sort of North Essex at the moment, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly right. Dave, do you miss the days of town hall balcony and
of course,
the steps
yeah.
and all that?
Yeah, no, I saw the guys, Colin and Tim, pointed that out. Yeah, I just don't think the town could have taken that. I mean, I remember back in the day, certainly the Cup final, they were just redeveloping Debenham. So Debenham's, which is no longer Debenham's, no longer there, was just full of scaffolding. And I mean, talk about health and safety issues. Oh, my God. I mean, you've obviously seen pictures of where, you know, people up cranes and stuff like that. It was absolutely nuts. So, it was obviously going to be far too big to be held on the town hall balcony. But now I think they got it right. And as Joe said, even it was so spread out, the sheer volume of people there was just quite incredible.
Yeah. Seb, it kind of reminds us how big this club is days like Monday, isn't it? And the club have come in, you're never going to please everyone, as the guys were saying, but the club have done it really well, haven't they? Saturday, they could have made a thing about the pitch invasion. They didn't. The players embraced the fans and all that kind of stuff, lifted up onto shoulders the scenes in Ipswich Saturday night and through into Sunday, and then this great thing on Monday, and then the players' dinner. It's been a really fantastic, it's been a fantastic 2 years, hasn't it? But certainly we've done it right this time around, haven't we, in terms of marking what a great achievement this has been.
Very much so. Yeah, I know. Obviously, there was criticism last year over the pitch invasion. I didn't mind it last year personally, but this year was completely different. And then, you know, you kind of saw all the stewards and the police walking around with 10 minutes to go, thinking, oh, are they gonna look to stop people here? But they were just there to help people get onto the pitch safely, weren't they? More than anything. And those are the pictures that you want. Those are the memories that you want. Everything was good natured. We saw a couple of years ago with pitch invasions elsewhere that things, you know, someone could always take a kick or a swing at an opposition player, but you know, the Huddersfield fans. Players would have been stuck in that crowd for ages, no reports of any trouble whatsoever, because everyone was just in such a good mood and so good natured. And it was great to see it. I'm in the Cobbold, so I have people going over the executive boxes Maidstone style, and then kind of getting to the end and realizing how big that drop is. I think it's a solid 10 to 12 foot drop, so those that weren't quite as refreshed as others hadn't got the guts to make the jump down there. But brilliant to see, great scenes. And like you say, they've not missed a beat, have they, in terms of, you know, they allowed the pitch invasion to happen. This parade was absolutely exceptional. The end of season dinner footage, streaming that live is a great thing to do for those of us that are further afield. I'm sure we'll get a town in whatever 50 at some point in the next couple of days that we're all looking forward to seeing. And yeah, bask in this glory, because, well, 24 years since the last one doesn't come around very often, and obviously we all want to lap up as much content as we can possibly get at the moment, because these memories will stay with us for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, indeed. Opportunity to get your questions in for the guys. We'll go wherever you want to take us within reason. So stick a cue at the start. I've got a few places that I want to ask the guys first, but get your questions in because that's what we're here for. Before we start doing a little bit more focused content throughout the summer and the opportunity for more expansive conversation goes away. I guess I'm going to come down the line and kind of ask you guys the same question. I didn't prompt the guys on this at all, so I'll give them a little bit of thinking time. What was the moment when during the season, Dave, that we talked about this on Sunday, when you thought promotion was possible, automatic promotion?
Yeah, I think Breezeby early on, I think, and someone else touched on this, I believe Saturday, might have been Saturday, Rich, was the Morsey goal at Watford, which I think briefly took us top for 24 hours, maybe, I think. I'm pretty sure it did. You began to think then, crikey, you know, something really is going on here. This could really happen. I honestly thought, obviously, you know, then much, much further down the line, obviously, Sarmiento, Southampton. But yeah, I think that Morsey goal at Watford, because that game could have gone either way. We're generally in control. Joe, probably there, I think. We were generally in control of that game, but that game really was one of those games that could have gone either way. And then, you know, Morsey nicking it off the centre half, 85th minute, and rolling it in the corner. And you think, yeah, something's happening here. Something's really special. And so that probably would have been it for me, I think.
Seb?
For me, it was quite late on. I mean, I was always very optimistic that we'd obviously finish in the top three, but Blackburn away for me on Good Friday, because we didn't play that well. The games were kind of ticking off. Leeds were in their kind of decent run of form up until that kind of point. And we got across the line that night. It wasn't amazing. It felt worse in the stadium than it was watching it back. But I kind of thought, and then obviously follow it up 3 days later, you've got the Sarmiento 97th minute. So at that point, you're thinking this is inevitable. Nothing that Leeds, Leicester, Southampton can do is going to derail this, because it seemed to be on certain moments in that final kind of 6 to 8 games of the season, it was destiny. So for me, yeah, Blackburn away.
Joe?
I think when George Hirst puts 2-0 up at Sunderland on the first day of the season.
Yeah. Mr. Positive, as always.
No, I did predict we were going to get promoted, but I didn't know whether we'd actually be there or not. But I thought we'd finish somewhere sort of between 5th and 10th, and potentially, if things went for us, we might get to 75, 76 points to be enough, or we might be like 68, 69 points, not quite be enough. But I didn't think for a second we'd get to 96 or 90 or that sort of range. But I thought we'd be right up there. And like I say, when we went to Sunderland and on the first day of the season, a team that finished 6th the year before and beat them. And I know we were hanging on at the end, but it was a pretty good performance up there. And I thought, well, we've got nothing to fear. And then a few more games. And even when we lost at home to Leeds, and this was still August, I thought, well, actually, we've gone toe-to-toe with a team here that is going to be going all the way here. But yeah, I sort of in the sort of more serious side of it, probably when I thought we could be top two, was probably that Watford away game. And when we went top of the league at Easter, as Seb said, I thought, well, there's no way we're not going to get there from here, because we know how to run in from here. And I mentioned on the pod a few times, I thought Leicester and Leeds had the sort of super strengths of the squads that they had, and Farker was a super strength in that he's managed a campaign like this before. But for me, what was going to be the key thing for us was that this squad and basically every single one of these players, this management team, this staff, this fan base has seen us chase down this automatic promotion, and we knew how to manage the run in, and we did. And when when that game last week, and everyone looked there and said, oh, Hull away, Coventry away, Huddersfield at home, is that going to be? And we're saying for weeks and weeks before, is this going to be the Barnsley or the Peterborough Barnsley Exeter week? And it turned out to be exactly that, didn't it? I know it's 7 points rather than 9, but there's a slightly higher calibre of opposition, but it was. Yeah, that everyone just sort of circled that on their calendar for we can do this now, and it turned out to be that way.
The muscle memory. You mentioned Sunderland just before, Joe. We love a sliding doors moment on this podcast. Does it feel to you like getting the 3 points there at Sunderland was maybe a big sliding doors moment, as early as it was being the opening weekend?
Massive, yeah, because we were 2-0 up against 10 men, weren't we, at one stage, and then it went 2-1, and then there was back in the days when we were paying 18 minutes injury time or 14 minutes injury time, and Haladki makes the big, big save right at the very, very end of the game. And that felt a big moment, because you don't you win that game, and all of a sudden that the momentum from last season is carrying on into this one. So that was a massive win there, and then followed it up with a win against Stoke at home the following week, a team who had won sort of comfortably on the open day of the season. I thought, yeah, we're at this level. And there'd been a lot of talk about us in pre-season, the second tier podcast, predicted to come second. I think not the top 20 had us maybe third. The bookies had us maybe sixth, that sort of range. So it did feel like we're actually, whilst the fans might not be having the expectation, the wider footballing world and the sort of stats base, the bookies, the people that are putting their money where their mouth is on this, think we're a good team, and are we going to be one? And I think it was quite obvious quite early on in the season that we were going to be one.
Yeah. Any other sliding door? This feels like one maybe to come back to. Anyone got any other sliding doors moments in the race?
I think possibly the manner of the Sheffield Wednesday result, the 6-0.
Yeah. I watched that back this morning, Dave. Amari Hutchinson is awesome in it. Absolutely awesome performance.
I mean, because I think did that not come a week after the Cardiff debacle?
Possibly,
I think it did. So that was a real statement performance, and to knock in six who were, excuse the pun, on a roll under roll. They was I think a real statement result, and again that set us up, didn't it? And as was also, ironically, the Maidstone result is probably arguably the best result we had all season.
Well, Ashley says, they went on to help Coventry reach the semis, which led to our much needed break, sliding doors moment. I think all of us nodding along there, Ashley, fair play on that one. Neil, losing to Maidstone was a massive moment. Who'd have thought it at the time? Felt like a real gut punch. Seb, any sliding doors moments for you?
Mine was going to mention Maidstone and how that eventually would play out in terms of us getting a nice break at the end and Coventry playing a couple of extra games. That was my one. You look back in hindsight and it is one of the best results of the season, isn't it? And just thinking back to Joe talking about Sunderland away, how weird did it feel? How we were kind of relatively nervous with Clanky playing out from the back and people questioning it and stuff. Obviously, Walton gets injured a few weeks beforehand and he becomes the number one. There's debate, do we get a new goalkeeper? And then we sit here now 9 months on, playing out from the back is the absolute norm. Like, he's probably in the top 4-5 a player of the season. And yeah, how quickly things can change. It seems crazy looking back at it now.
It does. I need to say thank you to Boris. The only way is up, he says. Greetings from Bulgaria.
Wow.
Super chat. And I assume this is Bulgarian Lev, is it? I'm not sure. But thank you, Boris. Appreciate that. And the fan base continues to grow. And I meant of Ipswich Town, of course, but Blue Monday, we know you're watching and listening everywhere, but thank you for that. If you want to do likewise, there's a button if you're watching on YouTube, but also thumbs up, very much appreciated as well. I can see Facebook, Matt, Chris, Elliot, TK, Ewan, Leon and Lee have already done that. We appreciate that too. But thank you everyone for the super chats. Back to the questions. Skip C. Till, what parts of Port Road need to be upgraded for the Prem? Dave, Mark Ashton done an excellent interview with our friends at Kings of Anglia. He's talked about, I think, 15 projects.
15 points I saw. Yeah. I know one was the floodlights, wasn't it? I believe come up to standard. I think the media, there's more work to be done there. So, yeah, that's the let's say the price. It is. That's the thing you have to cope put up with that comes with promotion to the Premier League, doesn't it?
Yeah, we have to give a huge amount of credit to Ashton in terms of the dugouts, I think, needed to be up to spec. That was done. Oh, there's that weird thumbs up thing again. We've done last year. The electronic advertising hoardings as well, done as well. I don't think all championship teams have that. I might be wrong. But that infrastructure stuff, the pitch.
Yeah, the exactly pitch, right. The big one, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, we have to give a huge amount of credit to Ashton and the ownership for getting us into a position where it would have been might have been a real race, not a Luton-esque race against time, but it might have been a race against the time nevertheless to make it ready. But we are in a much better situation than we might have otherwise been, aren't we?
Yeah, very much so. They've had the foresight to get things in place now, the big projects, and then, yeah, they can do this. I think, do they say a couple of million quid worth of upgrades at Portman Road? Obviously, the big plan is the training ground now, isn't it? So
yeah,
they'll crack on, they'll have their plan of works. I think, did Ashton say in the interview, they're back in on Tuesday morning with his whiteboard and his flip chart to start assigning areas of responsibility. So I'm sure we'll get updates coming out from the club as each thing is ticked off, ready to go.
Seb, do you remember 99-2000 coming back for the Premier League campaign in 2000? The ground and the whole place felt different, didn't it? I don't know if that was me and it was psychological, but it did feel the place just looked different from the season before. Am I right, or am I barking up the wrong tree there?
I think it did slightly. I mean, the whole town felt different, didn't it? And that's what we'll see again now, you know, being out on Saturday night, all those bars and pubs are full, the restaurants are full, getting promoted as a huge, huge benefit to the local economy. And they will make Portman Road look as good as it possibly can be. The Cobbold Stand redevelopment will still be there in the future kind of plans. I don't expect that to come forward that quickly. They always spoke of that as a longer term thing. And let's be honest, last time we got promoted, building new stands didn't work out too well for us. So they'll still kick that into the sort of the medium to long term, but they'll just improve every area like they have, you know, little things like the blue perimeter around the pitch, the things we've seen in the last couple of years to make it look as good as possible for this mass exposure of media, which we're now about to be subject to.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Blue Monday are delighted to be partnered with TalkSport Fan Network and NordVPN, giving you the best possible offering for browsing the internet securely. NordVPN opens up global streaming options for content not available in your region by switching your virtual location quicker than Wes Burns running down the wing. NordVPN acts like your cyber Sam Morsey whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like passwords and credit card details from falling into the wrong hands. For about the price of an ITFC match program a month or a Blue Monday Telegram subscription, you can get yourself a NordVPN account which can be used across 6 different devices. If you need to rapidly change direction like Amari Hutchinson, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast or YouTube subscription to be taken straight there, supporting us here at Blue Monday in the process.
Yeah. Joe, the thing that the promotion money, which I assume doesn't just land in our bank account day one, but will come in due course, means that there are really exciting opportunities for the women's team, but also the academy. Have you got any insight or any expectations as to what might be possible there? Category one is something that's banded around and there's an ambition there, certainly, that maybe there wasn't a few years ago, but it enables us to make some really bold strategic decisions for the future, doesn't it?
Yes, and this promotion and the money you get should set you up to make sure you make progress off the pitch as well as on the pitch. So you don't just want to be one of those teams that comes straight back down and all you've got to show for it is some play. You want the infrastructure of the club to be upgraded, and sometimes you don't notice how tired we were as a stadium until you go to other clubs. Even dare I say, you go up to Norwich, and all of a sudden you go there, and it's like the stadium just looked newer than ours. And we've addressed a lot of that in the time since Game Changer have come into the club and Mark Ashton's come into the club. But no, we've got to make sure we make hay while the sun shines in that regard. I think with the investment from Brightpath, they're buying in, they confirmed at that stage they're going to be doing Category 1 Academy, and there's parts of Category 1 Academy which you'll see will be like they have to have a show pitch, for example, which is with a certain amount of seating, floodlights, or along those lines, which hopefully, I don't know, you'll know more about the women's side than me, but you'd hope that would allow the women's team to move into it, which have a base there rather than be at Felixstowe, that they can have a proper show pitch at Playford Road. Alongside that, I'd like to see the women's team go full time or be sort of ramped up to go full time over the next 2 to 3 years, so that they can at least be a championship team at the very least and sort of trying to push for the WSL. I know at Mark Ashton's previous club, Bristol City Ladies, I know they've struggled this year, but they were promoted to the WSL. I know it's probably going to be sort of one and done for them and back down to the championship. But at some point, the WSL will expand to more teams than the 12 that are currently there. So we need to make sure we're up there with the teams there, because there's other teams sort of coming past who have obviously had a lot of investment there. But yeah, we need to make sure we set ourselves up to be a Category 1 team as an academy, a full-time women's team, and then because the investments in those things are so small fry compared to what the Premier League is effectively. So it's just making sure that all works, making sure we are totally, totally set up for the next 20 years.
Yep. Here, here. Good shout. Tommy, cannot wait for the Prem. Who do we want first game, Dave?
This is shout, isn't it? I've heard people differing things. You know, someone said like Man United, who he had obviously last time. I mean, what a brilliant first game at Portman Road that season. It was just awesome, wasn't it? I'd give me someone like that, or maybe it's tough to say, but perhaps another promoted team, so you get off to a flyer and have got a better chance of getting the 3 points in. Perhaps that's another way of looking at it. But I mean, whoever we get, it's just going to be so, so good, isn't it? Yeah. And someone mentioned earlier, Man City. I mean, crikey, De Bruyne, Haaland, Foden. I mean, yeah, it's just going to be incredible.
Seb, do you want to catch Liverpool's new manager cold on the opening day?
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? We'll do it under the lights on the Friday night on Sky's opening game of the season and, yeah, catch them as they're in their transition phase and get off to a good start. That'd be nice.
We just explain to folk who are maybe not in your part of the world, up in the northwest, if Ipswich were to repeat the Marcus Stewart scoring at the Kop End 1-0 Premier League victory, how long would you be smug for walking around where you live?
Forever, but I'd be fired by the Monday morning. Bosses are Liverpool fans and I'd be changing ringtones, changing screensavers. I would do everything to get that out there. So I would be dismissed fairly quickly, but it'd be worth it. I'll be honest. If George Hurst takes it round Alisson at the Kop End, slots it home like Stuart did 24 years ago, then I'll take that because, yeah, those scenes would be absolutely phenomenal.
Right, let's start manifesting that, everyone.
Seb loses his job. But
we need to find Seb a new job as well.
But that's fine. Yeah, we'll take that.
Worth it. Worth it. Yeah. Joe, any exciting narrative or context for who you want to see opening day? Or are you like Dave, pragmatism, get the points on the board maybe?
Yeah, I think one of the things that will help us at the start of next season, what helps this season, effectively going into the season with a I know there's going to be a number of new signs, but you're still going to have a relatively settled core to the team. And in the Premier League, you need that because it's not like in the EFL where teams change massively year to year. We're going to need to try and catch someone a little bit cold at the start of the season to try and get some points on the board when we are at that early stage there. So, yeah, anyone at Portman Road, I think, will be a good game. And anyone sort of outside the sort of top six or seven, except for Man United, who are hopeless.
That Palace win on Monday night was
rubbish.
Army, wasn't it? Joe, I'll stick with you on this. You and I were talking about this earlier. Porksmith talks about when the new shirt's released, who's paying the little extra for the Premier League badge. I am, definitely. I don't usually do it, but I will definitely be doing that. Charlie talks about, can't wait to see our new Premier League kit. Any ideas or hopes for it, Joe? But Paul, rightly mentioning Burnley moving to Castor for next season, he says, hope that doesn't apply to us. I've talked about this, and I think you've talked about this, and maybe you've expressed similar sentiment. Give us your take on the whole kit situation. I think it's not going to be $49.99, is it? I think we can probably guarantee that.
We've got to the badge. Firstly, yeah, I will get the badge because I always get them, but my children are so excited to get the badge on their shirts because they're not allowed to get the Sky Bet ones on there, so they're desperate to get a Premier League badge on there, so that'll be done. But yeah, the Castore thing, or Castor, I don't know how you actually pronounce it, but Burnley's contract was due to run till 2026. And we heard a few months ago that Castore had bought the distribution rights of Umbro, is that correct? Or something along those lines. But Castore had taken over Umbro. But Burnley's contract is ending 2 years early and they're going to Castore. We've only got 1 year left on our Umbro deal, so I do wonder whether we're going to be wearing a Castore shirt next year. I'd say I've got a few Castor shirts and they are good quality shirts. I like them. But the only thing I would say is they are very, very expensive and the training kit is really, really expensive too. I'd say you look at some of the shirts there, they're like £80 for some of the shirts. I don't know, £75, £80. So I can't, but I think the clubs do set those because at Ipswich, the Umbro shirts were what, £50, £49. But at West Ham, the same Umbro shirts are £65. So I think the clubs do set them where they want them to be. So it might be that those clubs are just setting them higher. But they have had a couple of shockers with the with the Aston Villa kit that they had this year, they messed the fabric on it. So it looked like you'd effectively had a bucket of water chucked on you within 2 minutes of the game starting. It's just totally stuck to you. So I don't think in the North Stand people would want to be wearing that on a hot day, looking like they're in a wet T-shirt competition before they've sort of gone to liquid for the night. But it's, so it's interesting. But I know Zou has said that the club said they were going to be Danny's Umbro, but I don't know if they can say that confidently now. If, let's say, if Burnley are gone, Umbro might not be able to fulfil it. So it might be a Castor one. So I'd say watch this space on that.
Indeed.
Just to jump in, sorry, would the design have been done a few months ago? That's normally how it works, isn't it? So I guess they would have signed it off around Christmas time, which I guess might have an impact on it, maybe.
Maybe, but then
you do get one loss.
Think similar for Burnley, wouldn't you?
Yeah, true.
Might
just be a different branding on the same design, just different
Brand. Same design, different brand, yeah, that may be the way.
The double diamond.
Oh, Dave Diamond, fuming at that. Seb, I'll come to you this. Sibbo, I guess now after the fact, we can maybe be a bit more phlegmatic about this. Looking at the parade on Monday, got to give a special thanks to the demolition man, Paul Cook, for putting eight of those players on board that bus. Do you want to talk about that? I'm not going to ask a leading question on that one. I will leave you to give your take on it. Paul Cook deserves credit? ?
Well, he got them into the building, but these are not the players Paul Cook signed. Let's not have any doubts about that. You know, he signed Sam Morsy as a kind of a midfield destroyer, and look what Morsy is now capable of under Kieran McKenna. I guess, yeah, you could argue that the likes of Chaplin, Walton, Morsy wouldn't have joined had Cook not been the figurehead, but to give him credit for me, I don't think so. I thought he was a really bad manager. I thought he was really bad in charge of us personally. So thanks for getting the players in, but McKenna has taken them to a whole new level. You know, he couldn't get a song out of them. He wanted to replace most of them in the January when he moved on in the December. So yeah, helpful getting here, but I can't give him any credit for the development, because they've all gone up so many levels having had 2.5 years of Kieran McKenna coaching them.
Fair enough. I need to say thank you to Andreas for his super chat. Thank you to Paul, who thanks us for all our efforts. Thank you, Paul, and the growing wider BL. I think you're part of Telegram, if I'm right, aren't you, Paul? That face looks familiar. So thank you for that. And MW as well, number 23. Mind the gap. Am I missing something there? Hopefully not offensive. I always do that.
23 points between 20, us and Norwich.
There you go. Mind the gap. Thank you. 15 years I didn't get either until someone explained it either. That's more about me than it is UMW. Thank you guys for your super chats. Really appreciate it. Really helps us. We've got some exciting plans over the summer. This just goes to help us do even more cool stuff. So thank you so much for all of your support as well. Dave, I'm going to come to you on this one. I'm hugely conflicted, massively annoyed and frustrated about this time of year. Paul asks, what's the most hilarious transfer rumour you've seen this week?
I think we touched on it in the green room before the start. I think the probably the Eddie Nketiah, Emil Smith Rowe dual. Yeah, there you go.
Charlie's reported
60 million bid for Eddie Nketiah and Emil Smith Rowe. Yeah, there's been some outlandish ones, but so far, even in the last few days, but I think that just about takes the award for that, doesn't it? Surely.
I think so. Joe, you're generally on top of this stuff more than I am. Any other interesting, well, bizarre ones or interesting ones?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything been too bizarre as yet. The sort of names you'd expect to be linked, sort of being top championship players, but there another one was that Armando Broja, wasn't it, from Chelsea, where I think, well, yeah, surely he's on sort of 50 60 70 grand a week, and they were trying to get 50 million for him at one point a couple of years ago, and he's obviously cleared down from that point. But it's just going to be so interesting to see where we go from here. Do we go big signings, or do we look for up and coming signings as we've done previously, or somewhere in the middle? But it's going to be a fascinating window. More to come from the Blue Monday podcast this summer. It is peeled.
Yeah, it won't be me, it'll be Joe. I think so. I'll do some plugs. Really great question here from Reese. Most improved player. We'll be back, I think, on, well, we will definitely be back on Sunday, and I think we're going to do our Blue Monday end of season awards. We did it last year. I think we're going to do it again. So Reese, if that's okay, we might have that as a category of one of the awards. Essentially, we'll go through and give our views on lots of different things. We'll kind of do a repeat of the end of season do on Monday night, but it'll be the Blue Monday version. We'll let you vote on some categories as well. So that'll be Sunday. So join us on Sunday, and then an end of we'll do a season review two-parter as well. That'll probably be next week. And as Joe says, as and when bits and pieces of important news come out, we will react to those as well. So do like, do subscribe, keep your eye on our feed. And in the intervening weeks, if you're a bit bored and want to continue the discussion, the Telegram group, frankly, is no work has been happening for, and I include myself on this to an extent as well. I just outed myself there. Hello, work. You're not listening, I hope. But yeah, a lot of attention on what's going on around the place. But the discussion on Telegram has been great. BlueMondayITFC.co.uk. The link to join the Telegram group is there. And you can chat to the likes of Joe about Emile Smith-Rowe and others and other more rational things as well. But that's me getting a little bit emotional. Our NordVPN promo is still going as well. Link in the description, both on the podcast and here on YouTube as well. And yeah, I think that's probably about it for plugs. So Reese, thank you for the question. We will lob that in the mix for the end of season awards pod on Sunday. Neil asks, is this, Joe, probably a bit premature because we need Cat 1, but I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we can start asking. He's done a winky emoji there. Do we re-enter the pizza trophy with our under 21 team? That's a, in terms of how do you mark the beginning and the kind of continuation of this journey? We were bemoaning those when we were in League One. Do we want to get into that racket?
I think once you're in, you have to be a category one academy for it. But I think there's something happening with the National League at the moment where there's sort of 16 under 21s team is going to go into groups in there. Place of the Bristol Street Motors Trophy, as it's currently called. But yeah, once we hit the Category 1 Academy, it will be nice to be on the other side of these things rather than losing at home to West Ham under 21s or what it was. We'll be beating their first team while our under 21s are in that competition that we were in.
Yeah. Dave, on a similar theme here, Steve asks, was the previous 20 years of utter dross worth it for the last two of absolute heaven?
Yeah, I've got to say it probably was, wasn't it? It was tough. We said it was tough at times, you know, all of us, you know, just trying to stir ourselves to put some positive content out there, really, and trying to keep things upbeat. But by God, you mentioned the 3-0 defeat in Northampton and one or two other results. It was tough. So, as we said, you know, this time last year, just enjoy it because seasons like this don't come along very often. Well, it's come like buses, as someone said, it's come along again. Yeah, I think so, yeah, because it's just been the most sublime, magnificent 2 years that you could ever imagine. You could never have imagined it, could you? What, were we 11th, 12th in? Well, finished, yeah. 11th in League One, 12th in League One when he came 2.5 seasons ago. It is. You know, I know you look at the media and, you know, perhaps do you think sometimes, you know, some people from outside say, well, are they overhyping this? I really don't think they are, given the financial landscape these days of the Premier League. And you know, with the relegated clubs, the FFP and everything else that goes with it, parachute money, even the second year, the clubs with the second year parachute money, we've usurped them all. It's ridiculous, really, when you look at it. Shouldn't happen.
No, you're right. we've definitely outpunched above our weight, haven't we? If I'd sat, I think we spoke about this on Sunday, but I'll repeat the question for your benefit now. If I'd spoken to you after Liverpool beat us 5-0 on the end of the 01-02 season and told you it would be 22 years before we'd get back, you probably would have been quite incredulous at that. We have managed to make several brain farts on the way to getting back here, certainly prior to Game Changer, haven't we? We've toiled quite a lot, haven't we, when realistically we could and should have bounced back sooner.
Just quickly, I remember an Irish friend of mine, when Roy Keane was appointed, the very next, literally, news broke on Sky that Roy Keane had been appointed. And I think I got a text from him to say, oh, welcome to the Premier League. That's it now. Welcome to the Premier League. And I think we all believed it, didn't we? At the time, I think we all just got carried away totally with the hype. I think we won the last three games of the season. And then what? I don't think we won for the first 15. The next, and we said, only we could get this wrong, you know. But yeah, crazy.
It does feel like in the last 20 years, or since relegation, basically, and even before that to an extent, that to get promotion, we had to seem to work so hard for it. And every every chance we had, we just let slip through our fingers. While we looked up the road at Norwich, and every time they had a sniff of a promotion or a good season, they seemed to be able to grab it with both hands and do it. And it just was so frustrating that, like I say, even the 1 year we had a good year, we end up losing the playoffs to them. And it's just just really been as a club, we just seem like the first year down, we end up being in Europe, starting the season madly, missing the playoffs, then losing the playoffs, and losing the playoffs. And then last end of the season, we can get in the playoffs, but we don't make it. We were never able to grasp any half opportunity that presented itself to us, let alone or a full opportunity. So they've just grabbed everything that's come their way. And hopefully the tide has fully turned and they can let this one slip through their fingers. Now they're currently in the playoffs. Could it be nice for them to run out of parachute reality. Money and face reality and to have to sell players to go and let us sort of park our tractors on their lawn as opposed to the other way around?
I mean, yeah, someone made an interesting comment that worked the other way with them up the road as well. Whenever they get a sniff of relegation, they're down.
Yeah, it's one or the other, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all glory. Yeah. Mark Ashton very much signposted his thoughts on Norwich several times this season. So, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Seb, on a similar kind of vein to Steve's question, Andy asked, is anyone else a little bit, tiny bit sad that this could be the best season we've experienced as Town fans? Surely the points total won't be topped. I mean, football moves on and all that kind of stuff. I think probably the spirit of the question is more, it's going to be a different experience in the Premier League. We should be expecting that, shouldn't we? And we need to enjoy these moments right now, particularly this promotion, just because of where we've been and all the stuff we've just been talking about. So it's difficult sometimes to process these moments, but you know, we need to enjoy this. It might be a bit sad being a small fish in a big pond rather than the other way around, but what's your take on that?
No, very much. Yeah, I agree with that. Enjoy these moments. 96 points is crazy. I saw, I think it was the second tier podcast I was listening to, said it was the greatest achievement at championship level ever. And it's hard to disagree with that, given who we were up against, the points total, the money and the sheer power of the Premier League. So enjoy these moments. Yes, we you know, a lot of our fan base is now going to have to get used to, well, losing more than 10 games in 2 years, because that will happen. We will lose more games in the Premier League, but you have to enjoy this. You know, this is what they've all worked so hard to get to. We're now going to get incredible away days at Goodison, the Etihad, you know, Anfield, whereas 2 years ago we're doing Forest Green, Morecambe, Accrington. You know, you just can't compare the two. So yes, it's going to be very different. Yes, we are going to be the underdogs in probably 90% of the matches that we go into, but enjoy it because it's what they've strived so hard to get. And as Joe said earlier, it sets you up now for the next X number of years. You know, if we can stay up next year, let's say we finish 15th, 16th, 17th, and we do stay up, then suddenly it unlocks another world of potential, which the club will seize upon and look to advance us forward. So yeah, it will be a bit different next year, but we're still going to enjoy it because it's you know, like you said, 22 years ago, we never thought it would take this long to get back to. So let's by all means make the most of it now we're there.
Indeed. Howard DK, for all your excellent work, here's a super chat. I've been watching since COVID times. It was like therapy back then. How the times have changed. Howard, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for sticking with us, and hopefully some more good times ahead to talk about as well. Thank you so much for the super chat. Back to the questions. I think this got a little bit of love in the chat as well, guys. This might be in the running for the Neil Warnock tickets. Paul asks, and this is more of a trivia question, I think we should do the working. I think people might have put the answer, so hopefully you haven't seen this. How many Premier League clubs have different grounds since we were last in that division?
Well, there's four grounds we haven't played at, isn't there, of current Premier League teams. So Tottenham, we've never played there at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
In the league.
Played
friendly there, didn't we?
Yeah, it's not a competitive.
Doesn't count, Rich.
And that was COVID time, so you couldn't go. So West Ham, we've never played at their new ground. Man City, we've not played at their new ground. And Brentford, not played at their new ground. So they're four that all Ipswich fans would be looking to tick off.
Are we missing any others who have done rebuilds or anything like that?
Well, some have moved, but we've played them, haven't we?
We played them. Power wasn't Arsenal there, in the League Cup, but that was when we were last in the Premier League. They were at Highbury still.
Yeah, they were still at Highbury, yeah.
We're saying the Blue Monday committee saying four. Let us know in the chat. I haven't spotted anyone. I think we're good. I think Joe's got it right. Mm-hmm. So well done, Joe. That's why he's on the team. That's why he gets the small bucks here.
I was just looking to see what grounds I needed to tick off next year.
Of those four, which are you most excited by, Joe?
Well, the Tottenham ground is fantastic. I've been there for a Tottenham game, but not for an Ipswich game, obviously, yet. But that is the most incredible stadium you'll go to. I don't know what it'll be like as an away fan, because one of the benefits of it is that you can sort of mingle around the whole ground. I've been there for first Champions League games and NFL games and things, and it is just fantastic. So hopefully the away experience is as good as sort of the overall experience there. But that is a fantastic ground. But yeah, the Brentford one, I'm sure, will be a good one. I'm sure that's in a nice spot over in the sort of west of London.
It won't have four pubs on each corner, will it?
No, but like West Ham, we know what that's about. That's not the best stadium to watch football in. And I don't think Man City, when we go there, I can't imagine it's going to be a raucous atmosphere greeting us. It's going to be 45,000 fans turning up to basically watch them beat us.
I think you're right, Joe, because we're going to, in a lot of cases at these grounds, we're going to be, especially top six and stuff, we're going to be, well, they grade the games, don't they? So we're going to be category C. If they grade them A, B, C, we're certainly going to be category C. I would have thought, wouldn't you? Surely.
Yeah, and maybe games where you get bigger away allocations.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't sell out their home ends, which could be handy, because I'm sure, like I say, I've already got my sort of kids bugging me to go to away games. I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to be able to get you a ticket because you haven't got any points, and I've got loads.
In the home end, probably. For Man City, you probably do that.
I have to confess, I've already had an invitation to the Spurs game today.
Oh, hey. It's not what you know. It's Seb. Andrew asked, will we be shopping in the Championship or Premier League market? I guess it's difficult to tell. He suggested Callum O'Hare. I guess we talked about the two models that we can go down. It always feels like there's some wriggle room in between, but would you expect us to be recruiting some top-end Championship players? It seems likely, doesn't it?
Yeah, hashtag bit of both, to quote Dave, obviously. Yeah, I think we'll be looking at, I think Callum O'Hare won. I was listening to the Athletic podcast earlier with West Ham, and I think they quite fancy him, so he might be out of our reach. But yeah, it'll be the top end Championship one. So Ben Sheaf's been linked already, obviously. Jacob Greaves, left-footed centre-back at Hull, be interested in him. And then it'll be that bit of kind of, you know, Premier League experience, I would suggest, and a bit of Premier League kind of quality that we're going to need in certain positions of the pitch. So a mixture of the two. And interesting to hear Ashton say that, you know, the scouting network is there for looking at further afield outside of the UK. We haven't utilised it yet, obviously, really, but stuff is there if they want to look to do that as well. So potentially it'd be quite nice if we got a couple of signings from the continent or further afield to come in this summer.
Some
as well.
Dutch players would be good, wouldn't it? I mean, Charlie asks this question about, I understand that breaking the core of the squad is bad, but the Prem is a totally different animal to the Championship, and surely we can't keep relying on team spirit to get us over the line. Your thoughts on that? Is it team spirit or momentum, Seb? Surely that's a part of our success. We can't ignore that too much.
Yeah, well, momentum is key. Obviously, we've just seen what's happened for the last 2 years. So they will go into if you can keep the core, you know, Morsey in the middle, obviously, they'll keep that momentum going into the new season. And that could well be worth, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 points, which might make the difference at the end of the season. But we will need quality. We won't be able to rely on so many late winners regardless. You know, I know in this league, we're incredibly fit and we kind of put other sides to shame with our running stats. But we're about to move into a league where pace and power is absolutely key. So it's going to be crucial that we recruit and kind of adapt our training and playing styles to kind of meet those criteria a little bit. The momentum will be key. They will start on an absolute high, but we will need extra things to get us over the lines at certain times, I would think.
We will. We're at 59 minutes. I think we've covered plenty of bases there. Lots of great stuff in the chat as well. George, just very quickly, I want to thank, this pod for saving me during my darkest times. So thank you, George. The club is something special. Thanks again, guys. It's great to be a part of it, George. Thanks for sticking with us and being and watching us here on the podcast. We've all experienced those kind of dark moments, but we need to revel in pitch invasions, open top bus parades, and Premier League fixture list and Premier League badges on shirts. I'll get each of the guys to sum up their kind of feelings before we move away. But any thoughts on the best question we've been asked today? I might have to go back and get some names. But best question? Anyone got any jumping out?
The grounds question.
The grounds one grounds, I quite liked. Yeah, the bit of trivia.
We'll go with Paul. So, Paul, if you email or tweet us, if you do a screenshot of your YouTube account as well to make sure it's actually you, we will sort you out a couple of tickets for the Neil Warnock live event at the Region. Thank you so much for your questions. Thank you, everyone, for your questions and your super chats. It's been a fantastic week for the football club. It's been an unbelievable week for us as fans and us here at Blue Monday. Thank you, everyone, for joining in. We are not going on any kind of break just yet. Plenty of stuff coming your way over the next few weeks. And, of course, plenty of build-up as it starts to get more real in the summer with fixtures and kits and signings and all that jazz as well. But thank you, everyone. Please do give us a thumbs up before you leave. We really appreciate that. Thanks to the folks who have done that on Facebook and on YouTube already. I'll go down the line. I'll go in reverse order. We'll end with Dave because Dave was there from day one with Ben when maybe after the back of the 14-15 season, you guys were super hopeful. Didn't really work out, but here we are. 9 seasons down the line, Dave, and with our 10th to come after the summer as well. But Joe, just give your summings up for from the last week or so.
Yes, it's hard to put into words just how incredible a week it's been, how incredible a season it's been, and well, sort of 2 seasons it has just been following Ipswich. And I'd like to think like we all deserve it. We've all put in the hard yards over the years and maybe not got our just rewards at times, but it's never sort of dulled our love for the club. And it's just great that it's still the same club and it's still us all here. We're still enjoying it. And for me, I've now got another generation below me that get into the club and I can show them that we are a Premier League team and I'm not having to drag them sort of to games kicking and screaming. They're desperate to come with me. So yeah, it's just, yeah, couldn't be happy with how it's gone. And I'm just can't wait for next season now.
Yeah. It's Seb.
Very similar. Yeah, hard to put it in words how exciting it is, how the feeling of ecstasy we've had for the last 2 years, but especially the last week or so. I think I said in the pre-match sign-off last Thursday, I said we've sat here for 20 years and said nice things don't happen to us. Well, they are now. So everyone absolutely enjoy this because we do deserve it. It's been a hard couple of decades, but we now are in the Premier League, obviously. And yeah, enjoy it, everybody, because these are the moments why you become football fans.
Yeah, and enjoy maybe a little bit of respite from football as well. It's great to revel in the moment, but it's quite relentless, particularly when we were doing Saturday, Tuesday. So watch the playoffs with your feet up, as we said earlier on. We'll scout the Premier League, scout the Champions League as well. Matt, thank you so much. Ending on a flourish with a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, my message didn't go through. Thanks for a great season of the pod, lads. Bring on the Prem here. Thanks very much, Matt. And finally, Pod OG, the main man, the double diamond. Dave, give your summings up of things because what a whirlwind 2 years it's been, but in terms of the podcast.
Yeah, we always had our hopes when we set it up. I think I've told that story before, how it came to be. You know, I knew Ben from previously, obviously. And we'd just come off the back of that 14-15 season. But I really think we all thought that season was a little bit of an anomaly along the way. You know, we had the Daryl Murphy, who everything he hit went in that season, let's face it. And there were some tough days, you know, and then obviously you guys came along and obviously needed to come along because the pod was expanding thanks to our fantastic subscribers as it was. So, yeah, me and Ben had a little bit of a moment. It was quite funny. We had a little bit of a moment at halftime. We caught up with Ben behind the stand, just in front of the fan zone at halftime. And it was a little bit, he still wasn't convinced. The Leeds were losing 2-1. We were winning 1-0 and it was just at a canter. You know, they weren't pressing at all, you know, we're going to win at a canter. But we had a little moment, but he was still making that caveat. We're not there yet, Dave, but yeah, absolutely fantastic. And just on the wider thing, really, I think the community, the Telegram community, fantastic. The guys I met on Saturday, Neil Wilmore, Martin Talbot, Paul Walsh, and the legend that is Tim Donovan from Plymouth, absolute legend.
Tom.
All.
And, there's a few Eds, wasn't there, in there as well? Yeah,
Ed Seaton, I met at Coventry, absolutely. And not forgetting the Rands, who are just absolutely, you know, absolutely brilliant. We all shared that. We all shared that game at Coventry, one of the most bizarre games ever. So, well, experiences ever for us anyway. No, absolutely superb. And, yeah, bring it on.
Bring it on. We'll end there. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Bring on the Premier League.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.